John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 16. John chapter 4, verse 16. Jesus said to her, a Samaritan woman, Jesus speaking to her. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." I'm going to take a few minutes tonight and attempt to present some things about worshiping in spirit and truth. I don't know if it's everything, and even in the men's study 20 minutes ago, there's like six things that I was like, oh, why didn't I think of that? So we're going to spend some time tonight. Jesus says, now is the time that we should worship in spirit and in truth. I have up there verse 23, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." What is the Father seeking? Those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Here we go. Okay, worship. I think it's interesting. Worshiping is in our nature, isn't it? Whether it's, today maybe it's a sports team or it's things. How many different civilizations throughout the entire world have worshipped something? Every single one. Worshipping things is in our nature. And it's interesting, we just read, who is God seeking? Those who will worship Him. It's in our nature, okay? Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. We're not going to read every scripture up there, but we're going to see how well we can do to get most of them. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 9. Matthew 15. Well, let's Matthew chapter 15, verse 5. "But you say, if anyone tells his father," Matthew 15, verse 5, "or his mother, what you would have gained from me is giving to God, he need not honor his father. For the sake of your tradition, you have made void," what? "The word of God. You hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" So can we worship in vain? Yes. Period. Yes, we can. Okay. Idol versus God. This was a point I picked up somewhere. I thought it was interesting. I forgot my piece of paper back on the pew. I don't want to use... It doesn't matter. Here's a piece of paper. I'm going to worship this piece of paper. Okay? Can I do things correctly and in line with this piece of paper? Yes. Whatever I determine that to be. Where does the power and the strength come from worship, though? It comes from The piece of paper. Does this piece of paper provide me anything, give me anything? Does it seek me to worship it? No. So I put down there, true worship takes its power, its value, its validity from the object that's being worshiped. Would you guys agree to that? Where does our power, where does our value, where does our strength come from? From the object that we worship. Who do we worship? God. Not a piece of paper. You can worship this all you want. Nothing's going to come from it. Nothing's going to come from it. Examples of rejected worship, which we were talking about, Cain and Abel in the adult class, or in the men's study. Nadab and Abihu, what was Nadab and Abihu? They offered up strange fire. Was it accepted by God? No, they were put to death. Israel was also in trouble when they offered up strange things. So point being, if we're going to worship, we can do it in vain. We can. This was something else that I stole. Keith Sharp, I'd never met the gentleman, but I thought it was good. It says the Greek word, so this is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I chose not to go between the two tonight, but I like this. It says the Greek word rendered worship in the New Testament is parallel, signifying to kiss the hand to one, to be reverential, pious, to serve, to venerate, to do homage. And it says, thus to worship God is to, this is the part that I liked, to what? To humble oneself before Him in recognition of the Lord's infinite greatness while seeking communion with the Father in recognition of the fact that we are His offspring. So we need to humble ourselves before Him, and we need to recognize that the Lord's infinite grace is greatness while seeking communion with the Father in recognition of the fact that He is our, that we are His offspring. Are we a God's offspring? 100%. Okay? All right. Who's the head of the church? Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. Ephesians 1:22 says, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So who's the head of the church? Christ. Okay, pretty hard to argue that. Practice the sayings which we find. Philippians. Again, we're flipping around a bunch tonight. Philippians 4:9, and I would quote if I was good at that game, but I am not good at that game. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. I also don't like just pulling one and two verses, but for the sake of tonight. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, Paul says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, what? Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So can we learn what we need to do? Yes, that's what he's saying. You can learn from me how you should be. Okay? New Testament indicates that worship is an act of devotion or praise, either public or private, not necessarily just when we're together, but or an act of service directed toward God. Again, that's in the New Testament. I liked this question too. It says, would any deny that what New Testament Christians did under the direction and approval of the Holy Spirit and the Paul just said, what I say and what I see, what do you see? Would we argue that what they're doing is wrong? I don't know anybody would. Maybe I just missed that. But if the New Testament Christians are following the teaching of the apostles, guided by the Holy Spirit, is what they're doing correct? Yes. Or at least what they're teaching. Yes. We know that people got it wrong. We know that they need the New Testament Christians need a correction along the way. But there's a way for it to be done properly, okay? All right, we're going to keep going, Larry. John chapter 4, verses 22 and 23 already read, but we're going to start piece through as we go. So it says, God seeks us to worship Him. We talked about that. True worshipers and false worshipers. We saw that in Matthew. True worship must consist of worship that is of the Spirit and according to the truth. God does not seek ritual worship or unauthorized worship. That's again in Nadab and Abihu and things like that. We have so many examples in the Old Testament, New Testament of things like that. Okay, in the Old Testament, worship, okay, had to do with an external man, physical things. We talked about last week. What did we talk about last Sunday night? Tabernacle, yeah. And that was a very physical thing. It was openly, you could see things like that. So tabernacle in the Old Testament, the priests had special clothing, yeah. There was lampstands involved. There was burning of incense. There was instrumental musics in the Old Testament. There was also animal sacrifice. Okay, how many of those are for us today? I mean, we could talk about that. We talked about this last week and how different application. Okay, how about the New Testament? All right, here we go. New Testament worship dealing with the inward part of man. The biggest thing between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Old Testament outwardly, New Testament inwardly. Okay, here we go. So in the Old Testament, who did these things? Priests did them, yes? Okay, offered the sacrifice and things like that. So we go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You, that's us, yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be what? A holy priesthood. To offer spiritual sacrifices, Old Testament animal sacrifices, New Testament, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We can continue reading there. But who are priests in the New Testament? We are the priests. We are offering spiritual sacrifices. Okay? Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. And between the throne and the four living creatures, and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. That's verse 6. I'm sorry. Verse 8. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So prayers are a sweet incense to God. So again, some of the things from the Old Testament, we have a spiritual way in the New Testament to do it, but it's the inward man. So when we read in John chapter 4, and Christ says, worship in spirit and in truth, we're priests, we offer spiritual sacrifices ourselves, we offer up prayers, which is a sweet aroma to God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Let's go 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your, what? Heart. It's the inward man. When we worship in spirit, it's dealing with the heart. When we're singing, we're worshiping in spirit, making melody in our heart. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 9, beginning in verse 9. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be consistent in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. So again, verse 11, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. How do we do that? Some examples, verse 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be consistent in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, seek and show hospitality. So we have to be fervent in spirit when we do that. We can also go to, you know, orderly thing. We talk about order. Maybe that can go to in spirit or in truth. I'm not really sure which one it fits in. So I threw it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And then jump to verse 40. But all things should be done, what? Decently and in order. So when we do things, they need to be decently and in order. But I think that also helps us when we're, is it easy for our heart to focus, to worship in spirit if there's chaos going on? I don't think there is. So I think it kind of fits into both. But, so, four things there. We are all priests, so how do we worship in spirit? If we're all priests, we offer up spiritual sacrifices. We offer up prayers. We make music in our hearts. That's an inward thing. We are fervent in the spirit, and we do it orderly. Okay, continuing with the thought of in the spirit. So Jesus tells the Samaritan woman, worship. There will be true worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. Hebrews chapter 12. I know we're going fast, but Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. So what does in spirit look like? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship, so there's our acceptable worship, true worshipers, offering up to God acceptable worship with what? Reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So when we worship, when we offer up acceptable worship, when we're true worship, it needs to be in reverence. We need to have reverence when we do that. Can't do it without. Not to be seen of men, Matthew chapter 6. Why do we worship? If we worship in spirit, great. If we're reverent, great. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 says, beware of practicing your righteousness. So again, I'm going to worship. I'm practicing righteousness before other people. What? What are we supposed to beware of? In order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So if we're not getting a reward from Father in heaven, are we worshiping truthfully? I don't believe so. Verse 5, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. So again, worship in spirit and in truth. Okay, I'm worshiping in spirit, but I need to be aware of and be careful that I'm not doing it to be seen by men. The purpose of my worship is to glorify God. To glorify God, not to be seen of men. I also like Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to read 5 through 8. Romans chapter 8, 5 through 8. Let's pick up verse 4. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is, That's Corinthians. I should probably turn to Romans. When you start reading, you're like, wait, that's not the point that I was trying to make. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, that's the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind is set on the flesh, is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. So there's a law that we need to submit to. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's a plug for the Galatians class. If you haven't been coming to the Galatians class, come to the Galatians class. So we talk a lot about the spirit and the flesh and the difference in the two and the fact that we can be one or the other. Okay? So the things that we're doing when we worship, are we appealing, if you will, to fleshly things? I hope not, because that's not true worshipers. That's not worshiping in spirit. Okay, so take a breath. Worship God with the correct disposition. We talked about from the heart, the fact that we're to love God, that we're not to be noticed by man. Matthew chapter 23. Yeah, let's go. Matthew chapter 23. Let's go to Matthew chapter 23. Because again, who was speaking to the Samaritan woman? It was Jesus, right? So Matthew chapter 23, this is Jesus speaking again. Let's just start at verse 1. So Matthew chapter 23, verse 1. So Jesus, again, told the Samaritan woman, now is the time when true worshipers are going to come who worship the Father in spirit and truth. Matthew chapter 23, verse 1. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be what? Seen by others. Jesus is telling them they do it to be seen by others. For they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. And they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. But you, so again, Jesus is telling us how we need to be. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher. And you are all brothers. Call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Who exalts himself, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And then he goes into the woe to you, and we won't get into that tonight. But verse 12 says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. If we're worshiping in spirit, it's humbleness. Okay? Humble. On your own time, go read. Did the Corinthians have it right or did they have it wrong? They had it wrong. And Paul corrects them. Yes? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 17 through 34. They were doing it wrong. So again, what does that mean for us? We can do it a right way and we can do it a wrong way. We need to be careful to make sure that when we're worshiping in spirit, we're doing it the way that God has set forth in at least some of the ways that we've talked about tonight. By no means is it a complete list. But worshiping in spirit is something that, first of all, we can do. How do we know we can do it? Would Jesus have said it if it wasn't obtainable? If it's obtainable, or if Jesus said it, then it's obtainable. Okay, so I just put a question at the end there. It says, do you have the correct heart in worship? What is worshiping in spirit starts with our heart. And if our heart's in the right place, then the rest should naturally follow. Okay? All right, how about in truth? So we talked about worshiping in spirit. How about in truth? So again, chapter 4, verse 24 says, Jesus, that we worship in spirit and truth. So worship God in accord with truth, or as truth directs. So what is truth? Well, John chapter 17, verse 17, you guys can probably quote this one. But John chapter 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. What's truth? God's word. Period. Hard to produce a counter-argument. So first of all, if we worship in truth, we're worshiping the way God's word has set forth, which again, we've talked about in the spirit tonight. People do stumble. Matthew chapter 15. Did we already read that? I don't think that we did. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 through 9. Oh, we did read that, sorry. But again, can we get it wrong? Can we stumble? Yes, so we don't need to reread that. So it says, are we following through with traditions of men or truth from God's word? Again, the rest of this will focus on the things that we do here together. That's not the only way that we can worship, but that's what we're going to focus on for the next few minutes also as a collective group. So, to worship in truth has to be from God's word. So again, we're not going to read all of that, but we come together on the first day of every week. One of the purposes is to partake of the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 26. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26 says, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also as he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Why do we need to worship in truth? First thing is so that we can meet together, so that we can partake of the Lord's Supper. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we got to read that one too. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. That picks up the first day of the week. So Acts chapter 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to what? Break bread. Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day. He prolonged his speech until midnight. So one aspect of worshiping in truth, partake of the Lord's Supper. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Beginning in verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Each one must give as he has decided, there's that heart again, in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Another act of true worship is that we can give back as we prosper, as we do here on the first day of every week. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit. So again, with the proper heart. But I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. There's a few more references up there. For sake of time, we won't get there. But Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, I have it quoted up there. It says, and they continued steadfast, they, the Christians, continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. An act of true worship is that we can pray together. So we have Lord's Supper, offering, prayers. How about Colossians 3:16? We already read Ephesians a few minutes ago, but let's pick up Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, which again, I think this is kind of a twofold. It's kind of a twofold because of the end of what it says. But Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. There's the heart again. So we need to come together, and one or another aspect of worship is that we sing together to accomplish those things. And then we read Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Let's read that one more time. I know we just read it, but there's a lot of other references down there for this. But Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them. What do you think he was talking about? Spiritual matters. Spiritual things. And how long did he talk till? Midnight, so it was a long time. So they came together. Paul shared spiritual things with them. So again, true act of worship or truth is that we can come together and further ourselves in God's word. Not necessarily from one person, but that we can all grow together. Okay? Those are things authorized in God's word that we can do together. So we must be aware that we're all doing these things in truth. First Kings chapter 13, sorry. First Kings chapter 13. Verse 15. 1 Kings chapter 13, beginning in verse 15. Again, we're kind of breaking in there a little bit, but 1 Kings 13, verse 15 says, then he said to him, sorry, I don't know why, I think we need to start in 11. And he said to the sons, verse 15. Verse 15 says, then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, there's an old prophet and a young prophet. speaking to the young prophet, the old prophet is. So the old prophet's talking to the young prophet. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with you or go in with you. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by the same way. So the young prophet has message from the Lord that says, don't eat, don't drink, and go home by a different way. He said to him, I also am a prophet. So the old prophet says to the young prophet, I also am a prophet, as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back, and you bring him back with you into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So the one guy was lying to the other guy. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. So he trusted what this other prophet said to him, which was different than what the Lord had said to him. Verse 20, and as they sat at the table, the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back, and he cried to the man of God who came from Judah, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the command that the Lord your God commanded you, but have come back and have eaten bread and drank water in the place of which he said to you, eat no bread and drink no water, your body shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. And after he had eaten bread and drank, he saddled the donkey for the prophet whom had brought back. And he went away. As he went away, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his body was thrown in the road, and the donkey stood beside it. The lion also stood beside the body. We don't need to keep reading, but what's the point of that story? God said, do it this way. Someone told him differently. Who did he believe, or who did he trust in? The guy was lying to him. But I think it's interesting, who was the one that was punished? The prophet that trusted the lie, right? He's the one that was put to death because he knew better. God told him otherwise. If God tells us how to do something, we need to be careful and do it the way God has set before us. And not put our faith and trust in man, who do we need to put our faith and trust in? God. That's what worshiping in spirit and truth is. It's putting our faith and trust in God. I appreciate your time. Things always go too fast, but hopefully at least somewhat of an idea. When Jesus says that the true worshipers will come and now is the time, that we have the opportunity today to worship God in spirit and in truth. And it starts with our heart, and it also starts with the fact that what God has authorized, that's what we need to take care of. This lesson wasn't necessarily about baptism and things like that, but certainly always the opportunity. Where does true worship start? With baptism. True worship starts with making that step forward to say that you recognize who Jesus is and that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and that we start that walk by being baptized ourselves. So if you wish to be baptized tonight, or if you might have any spiritual need, then you can come forward and let that be known as we stand and sing the invitation song.